14th of December, 1998, and I'm with Jochen Buch. Hopefully I pronounced that right.
Sounds good.
You can tell me. maybe you've changed the pronunciation since you've been in the United States. At the Cornell University Medical College, in a conference room in the basement below his office. And to begin with, the Pew Charitable Trust has recognized the importance of biomedical research in the late 20th century America by funding the Pew Scholars Program for Bright Young Investigators. And they've also funded this project to conduct oral history interviews with these investigators in order to create a record of the process of scientific discovery. And in this session, I would like to cover your personal background and how your interest in medicine and science and scientific research developed. So to begin with, I would like to ask you when and where you were born.
Okay, I was born on the 6th of August, 1956, in Reutlingen in Germany.
Okay, and we've talked a little bit about this because I spent a little bit of time outside of in that part of Germany. Can you tell me a little bit about your family background and how long your family had been in Reutlingen?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was only born in Reutlingen. I grew up in Neuhausen, that is 9 kilometers from Reutlingen, near the Swabian Alp, and my mother's family lived there for at least 700 years. And my father's family came far away from there, 12 kilometers. And they can track back their background for at least 1,000 years.
Wow. And how typical or atypical is that of, you know, the families in the village that you grew up?
Oh,
that they could trace their background.
It's totally typical.
Yeah.
And I think the people in this region identify with their long history. And they are a special tribe.
Are they? What makes them so special?
Oh, they speak their dialect. It's their Heimat. What is that Heimat? Homeland? Essentially, how can I say that? Got me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we go there. So there's this real sense of identity, the individual's identity is wrapped up,
uh-huh.
Which is integrated into the history of the community.
Oh, yeah.
And what did your parents do?
My mother is coming from a butcher family, and is a housewife, and when I was a kid, she was working half a day in the butchery selling sausages.
So in the family butchery?
In the family butchery. And my father was a teacher, and he dominated the village between 1965 and 1990. He was the teacher, later the principal, he was the mayor.
Wow.
There was nearly no social function in the village he was not involved with.
Wow.
Yeah.
How large was this village that you lived in?
3,000 inhabitants now.
Yeah.
When I grew up, perhaps 2,500.
Yeah. So were there a lot of book names around, or what's the, so what's
no,
the
because my father came from the outside. He came from the village 12 kilometers away, you know?
Yes.
So
the
thing is, my mother's name, Reusch, that would be the name you could trace back.
Yeah. And what was, like, when you were growing up, what was the history of your family as it was told to you on that, like your mother's side, who had a real history in the village?
They can trace back there, a butchery, to about definitely 1820 or something like that. And then how many generations went through to until today? 1, 2, 3, 4. Now it's perhaps the 8th or 9th generation which is running it.
So,
and now, essentially, in the moment, my mother's brother is running the butchery, and it's already clear that the son will take over. So it seems that the tradition goes on.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So they were, now this is before your mother's, at least your mother's side of the family, was right. Certainly in this area when, say, before, basically the peasants were freed in southern mm-hmm. Germany. So were they part of a landed estate at some point, or do you know that far back?
Oh, sure.
Were they always
No, no, no. In this region of Württemberg, the peasants, and it is a peasant village where I grew up, were bound to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that after the 30-Year War, our region, during the 30-Year War, it went back and forth. We were Catholic, we became Protestant, we became Catholic again, and in the end, we were again Protestant. And what happened during that time in Germany was that the, how do you say that in English? That your religion was bound to the earth. What happened, you had to have the nomination of your ruler.
Yeah, okay.
And so this region of Württemberg I grew up was Protestant. And what happened then, by a chance event, our village, as our neighbor villages, were owned by the Count of Reutlingen. And according to Swabian heritage law, the estate is split into the number of sons you have. And then in the 17th century, one of the sons of the Count of Reutlingen changed his nomination and became Catholic, and our village was inherited by this Catholic son, and he became a monk. And so what happened was that our village was for 200 years a Protestant village whose rulers were the monks of a monastery about 40 kilometers away. And our village could feel it because, or you still can see it today, because there is an old 250-year-old mansion which has a small, beautiful Catholic church. And this is where these monks lived and where my ancestors had to bring 10% of their wine, 10% of their potatoes and whatever they had. Yeah. And this changed then with Napoleon, when the modern German states were founded. And, yeah.
So basically, then into the you know, the period of when your grandparents and your parents were growing up, that was still primarily Protestant in terms of who lived there?
It was all Protestant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Catholic people came into this region of Germany after World War II. That was it, and that's not history, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And where was your father from, and how did he end up in Neuhausen?
My mother's side was a wealthy, how do you call that? People like butchers, bakers, was a wealthy family. They
lower middle class, middle class?
Yeah. My father's side was, they did not own property. They were working as land workers, farm workers, for the little bit bigger estates. But you know, there were no big estates in Swabia. With this division of the heritage, it's totally typical for Swabia that there are no big estates, right? And so my father's side, they lived on the Swabian Alp, which anyway is poorer than the valley where I grew up with. And it was a nerve. They had to work to get their bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then my grandfather, this was a village called Hülben. This is where they have their heritage from, on the Swabian Alp, about 10 kilometers away from where I grew up. Then my grandfather with his family in 1920s moved to Neuffen. Neuffen is a small town. It's a beautiful with beautiful old ruins. And they have, the Swabian Alp is made out of limestone. And cement is made out of limestone. And one of the new professions was to break the stone to break the limestone to make cement out of it. And so in around 25, my grandparents on my father's side moved to Neuffen, and he was working breaking these stones. And was a typical Swabian worker, yeah. How do you call that in English? Arbeiter.
Yeah, worker.
Yeah.
Manual worker. Yeah. And what would you describe as a typical Swabian worker when you say that? How would you describe that?
Now, what is typical for Swabian workers? I think they are hard workers. They are totally reliable. They are proud of what they are doing. So if they do something as simple as breaking a stone, they do it right. And what is typical for them? they have to know what they do. And so they have to understand it. What else is typical? Look, this leads to it that, for example, education for the kids is important, you know?
And why is that? Was that true for your parents? That education coming from this one, from this butcher tradition, and it may be different because, you know, your mom obviously is a woman and expectations may be different. But what was the expectations for your father?
No, let's start with my mother.
Okay.
That's easier. What happened was that, so what, my mother was born in 1933 into this butchery in this village. And all life was around the butchery. And it seemed that my mother was a very bright girl. And she made it through the first 4 years of elementary school. And then she was one of the few girls who made it to the gymnasium. This is now higher education in Germany. And I think there were only one or two girls in her class.
Wow.
And she stayed there until she was 12. And then she was taken out of it because my grandparents seemed to need additional help. And until today, she's very bitter about that. Essentially, talking with her even today, she still has a grudge with her parents that she was not allowed to finish her education, and that she, for all her working life, was did non-skilled labor, selling sausages behind the counter, and unable to follow her dream. If you ask her what was her dream, her dream was to be a teacher.
Really?
And so. If you talk today with her, she still will complain about this decision made for her now, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Now, I think in my mother's family, contrary to my father, perhaps contrary to what I said even before, I think education was not so important.
Mm.
It was important to be a good businesswoman or a good businessman for the men, and the women were cheap labor.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Did she have any brothers to go who had gone to college or to the gymnasium?
No, my mother, she has two brothers and one sister, and essentially all of them were forced into the butchery. And the oldest one, who was supposed to take over business, could not deal with the father and left, and today he's a consultant for the sausage production all over the world. He's even here now in the States, you know.
Oh, okay.
Building stuff.
So when he left
right.
The village, and he left
right
here.
And then the second one, the younger her younger brother, who wanted to go for a higher education, was then forced again
to leave higher education and to become a butcher because somebody had to overtake the business. So, oh yeah, that's typical Swabian to this.
Yeah.
Long tradition of you follow up in the steps of your parents. And I think for my parents' generation, there still was much more pressure than there would be today. But on the other side, the business is going on now to the next generation. But on the other side, the Yerk who will overtake now the butchery would not be gifted enough to do a lot of the other things.
Okay.
Yeah.
And on your father's side?
Oh. Hmm. So my father was born in 1929. And he grew up during fascism. And his first vivid memories are playing in the castle next to the village and intermingled with his first experience in the Hitler Youth, and which he experienced as how did he experience it? He says it was important for him, and he says he found his most early friends as a kid in the during activities of the Hitlerjugend. And what happened then was that my father was essentially my grandparents did not have any education. They were able to write and read, but essentially that was it. Otherwise, you were a worker. You had to work. And my father was a pretty bright kid in school, and he also made it to the gymnasium. And then when he was 13 years old, he was chosen to go to one of these elite schools of fascism. Fascism had essentially offered a free, top-notch education to young kids. And this was the situation that my grandfather, who was a member of a Social Democratic Party until 33, and seemed to be totally unpolitical or did not show his opinions from 33 till 43, that in 43 he became a member of the Fascist Party. And later he said he did it because he wanted that his son should be able to go to this good school. And by the way, it never came to it. What happened was that instead of going to the school, my father, who, when he was 14 years old, was one of the leaders of his age group in the fascist youth, he was asked to name two of the people of his group to become soldiers. And that was in 44. And he tells me that he had sleepless nights. What should I do? Whom should I recommend? This kid, they were his age or 1 year older, would have to become soldiers. And so he decided with his friend to go. And when you asked him, why did you do that? Why did you become a soldier at the age of 14 and a half? Didn't you know that it's dangerous? He said, yes, we knew it's dangerous, but it was a mix of not wanting to be responsible, of sending somebody else, but at the same time, also it was this youthful adventurism and this feeling that you could not be damaged or killed or, yeah, no typical 14, 15-year-old. And so when my father was 14, he became a soldier, and he was part of the German army for 8 months. And essentially, he was running away from the American troops for 7 months. And so...
Where was he initially conscripted?
He was part of the retreat from about 100 kilometers in France till Salzburg in Austria. Right. And then he says, for the first 2 months, he said, we idiots still believed that we could win the war. And then there must have been a turnaround that he saw, mostly talking with these old men during that time. According to what he says, the army were either kids of 16 and below or people over 35, you know, these old people like us. And these old people told these kids, what are you doing here? And one of the very important things for him was that 2 weeks before the German army finally collapsed, he was, together with a friend, they left. And they walked home from Salzburg in Austria to Swabia. And essentially they are walking at night, hiding it during the day in the forest, or stealing stuff from peasants. And and so he came back 2 days after the war was over. He was back in his village in Neufen. And then education was over, because 45, 46, there was no school. And so my father started to learn a craft. And how do you call it in English when you build houses, the wooden part of houses?
A framer, construction worker, framer.
Yeah, and so he learned that stuff. And then in 47 he...
How would you say it in German?
Zimmermann.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of these old trades, you know, going back.
Yeah.
And then he started to go to the Lehreroberschule in 47. So this was a specific sort of gymnasium which led you in direction of teacher education. And then he became a teacher. And now, when did he meet my mother? I think he courted her around 51, 52. And against the wishes of my grandparents on my mother's side, after she was 21, legal age, you know, legal age, they married, and it's very important to my mother that I was born 11 months after they married.
Did your father come back to his village, or did he come back to Neuhausen?
What happened was that my father was at a beginning teacher in a village about 8 kilometers away from Neuhause. And when he was interested in women, he found my mother in this village 10 kilometers away and courted her. And then...
Hanging out at the butcher shop?
It was one of these typical Swabian feasts where the village has a feast where most of the people go to, and people come from the neighboring villages, and you have dancing and you have eating, and and he saw this woman and they danced, and rest is history, you know.
Yeah.
And essentially, when he asked to marry my mother, to break the resistance, one of the things was that they would stay in Neuhausen, or in Neuhause in Swabian,
yeah.
And then that, so he was looking for a transfer to Neuhause, and he started as a normal teacher in Neuhause, and then in a matter of 6 years, 7 years, made it through the ranks and became the principal of the school, and stayed there for another 30 years, you know, until he retired 2 years ago.
And do they still live?
They still live there.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And so when I lived for the first 3 years in the teacher's house, because there's a communal teacher's house. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 4 years old, they built their own house in a new part of the village, and we moved there. And this was the time when my brother was born. His name is Michael. Yeah. Now, my father is a teacher. My father, I think, was a very, very good teacher. I think the kids really loved him, and mostly when he was young. And later, there was more distance than in between. And perhaps he was not as popular later, and mostly when he was the principal. He was also an authority figure. But I think he found his profession. I think my father was a very good teacher. And he really took his job very serious. And I think he did a good job. And I think that my father has similar talents than I have. I think there is both me and my father, and also my brother, we are much more gifted in mathematics and natural sciences than we are in languages. And there is a very interesting phenomenon. In Germany, there are, at certain levels in school, there are national exams. And these kids have exams in languages, in German, and they have it in math. And looking at the grades of my father's classes, you really can see my father's strength and weaknesses. If you look how these kids were in, how do you call a dictée in French, or Rechtschreibung?
Penmanship.
Yeah. My father's classes were national average, exactly the average. And in math, they were one grade better. So, and a grade is a lot. Because you only have 5 grades.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, instead of a satisfying, if you have a good, as an average of a glass, that's a difference. Mm-hmm. And here you really can see how he loved teaching them math or natural sciences. And it was totally reflected then in their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And was he a teacher that taught all subjects? Was he in the Grundschule or...?
My father was, when he started, there was no separation between Grund- and Hauptschule.
Okay.
And so also when he was principal, he was the principal of the school in Neuhausen, which was a Grund- and Hauptschule. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And when they teach the small ones in the Grundschule, corresponding to elementary school, a teacher essentially is teaching everything, math as well as the language and that stuff. It's interesting, later when he only taught for 10 hours per week or something like that, then he taught the older kids physics and math. This is what he was interested in. And yeah. And here I have really very, very early map. So my earliest memories are dealing with school there, that already as I must have been below 3 years. We moved to the new house when I was three. And the teacher's house was only about 100 yards away from the school. And I remember that I went from the teacher's house to my father's class. And I was unable at this age to open doors. And so I do not know how I sneaked in through the main door. But then when I was in front of the classroom, I scratched on the door. And when they heard it scratching, they knew that I was there. And they opened it and I could stay then till the end of this hour. This my favorite friend, this incredible old boy of 6 years old, you know? And so school was something special, which I really enjoyed. Then...
Were you paying attention to what was being taught? Or was
no idea. It simply was great. It simply was great.
Okay.
And... look, I have no idea what happened. I only know that I was sitting there with my father in front during that time. You could not imagine it today, still with a tie and a white coat and teaching these kids. And yeah. So then I went, we moved to the new house and this was over. Because then it was a kilometer, which I could not have done. And then... I went to kindergarten. This is the next period I remember, which was, thinking back, nice time having fun. And then I came to elementary school when I was six, and I hated it. What happened was the following. That I think I thought that I was not up to par. And my mother tells me, and I remember it vaguely, that perhaps after 5-6 days of school, I suddenly showed up at 9 o'clock or 9:30 in the morning back home again, and she asked me, Jochen, what happened? And I said, I do not go back. I cried, I cried, I cried. I do not go to school. Why don't you go to school? I cannot do it. She called up my father. Imagine the teachers. during that time, he was now not principal, but second principal.
Well, yeah, okay.
So. And assistant principal, and... his son does not go to school. She put me in the car, brought me back, but instead of going to
bring me to class. She went to my father. And together they went to the teacher, and he had not even found out that I was missing. And so it seemed that I stayed at home that day. And this teacher was totally surprised that I claimed that I was not up to par and that I cannot do it. And anyway, the next day I cryingly was brought to school again, and something must have happened. The teacher, I'm told, told me that I was okay, doing okay, and then school was better. But still, problems. The problems did not stop long term, because now we were in third and fourth grade. And I think it was not too tough for me to learn reading, but I had incredible difficulties writing. And what happened was that the teacher who taught me told my father during that period of my life, so third grade, that I'm not bright, not at all. What happened was that I was in the second half in, or, yeah, this writing. I, and so in Germany, when you after fourth grade, a decision is made. After fourth grade, the system splits in three parts. During my time, about 80% of the kids stay in the Hauptschule. And they stay there for until, during that time, eighth grade. And after they finish eighth grade, they go out to and learn a profession. And with this sort of education, you cannot, it's not a higher education, you cannot go to the university. And so essentially, at the age of nine, the decision is made whether you make it to the gymnasium or to the middle school. And my teacher during that time was opposed that I go to the gymnasium, because simply I was not up to par in language, in writing. And my father, which ironically during that time it also was in the region around Neuhause, one of the teachers who tested kids for their abilities to go to higher education, was overruling my teacher and said that according to what he sees and according to tests and stuff like that, I should not have difficulties later. In the contrary, the moment that the right spelling of words is not so important anymore,
right,
I should have less difficulties. And so I made it to the gymnasium and had an awful first half year. Because what happened was that in the Grund- and in the elementary school, I still had a satisfactory with my writing abilities. Now, in this more select group of kids, after having the first writing test, I my score was not satisfactory, and it was bad. If you think now back, it was mangelhaft, which is
deficient,
exactly, and. So I wanted to leave the school, you know. And what happened? Luckily, there were other subjects. And in now, math in the sense of calculus or of simple math, I was not very good. I was also average. Yeah. However, then when mathematics started, I totally took off.
Okay. Let me put the tape over.